All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to the call tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Cindy Dale. I'm going to give her a little intro in a moment here. We've also got Carol Hyder on the line. Just a little bit of admin. I want to let you all know that you are muted so that we can really be sure that we can hear Cindy and Carol and myself well. So we go ahead and do that. And we are recording this call this evening. So should you miss something, don't worry. Everybody who registered for the call will get a copy of it via email probably tomorrow. There's a chance it would be later, but usually it comes out the next day. So welcome, everybody, tonight. We're going to be talking about understanding the chakras through feng shui principles. Cindy's going to give us info on the chakras, and then Carol's going to combine that with some feng shui and Bagua information. If you got the reminder today, there were handouts in that email that you can print out and take notes from. Two reminders went out about the call, and they were in there. We'll also send out the handouts tomorrow with the recording, so if you didn't get those, just know that you can get them tomorrow as well, or if you're at your computer, you can jump on and get those right now and print those out to take some notes. So tonight, we are so excited to have with us Cindy Dale, who's local here, and we know her. She's in the energy community, as I like to call it. She's an intuitive consultant and energy healer. She has authored over 20 books, and not only books, but ebooks. She has DVDs. She has CDs. She's just done an amazing new book that she'll probably reference a little bit during this call called The Complete Book of Chakras. And her books have been published in different languages. She's also did the Subtle Body series, which includes an encyclopedia and a practice manual, and a soon-to-release coloring book, which I'm excited about. She's worked with over 65,000 clients over the years, over 25 years, and has traveled all across the world to do the things that she's done. She also teaches a certificate-level program at Normandale College and has a program, a mentorship program through her own company, Essential Energy, as well. So we are dealing with quite an expert. Anybody you know that has talked to Cindy, who has been in one of her classes, I think would just give you a resounding recommendation for her. All I've heard is good things. And so personally, I was excited to meet her when I met her. And then when we talked about doing this call, I just thought this was a fantastic time to bring Cindy and Carol together on this. So. Welcome, Cindy, and welcome, Carol.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, and Carol and I have taught together before, so I just so look forward to our kind of stewing and brewing and seeing what we cook up.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's really delightful to work with you, Cindy. Cindy and I have had an ongoing group for a while, and so we saw each other regularly, and that we aren't doing that right now. So it's been, 2 months since I've seen
you?
Yes! Oh, my God.
We'll get going again. We'll get it going again.
Yeah, we sure will. So we just have a nice symbiotic relationship, Cindy and I. I've appreciated the, you know, there's, when you've been in the thing that you do a long time, you recognize other people who are doing their thing for a long time. And I remember some of those early whole life expos, Cindy. Oh, my God, they used to travel around.
Oh my God.
You'd be there, and I'd be there, and the Edge Life expos, and you'd be there, and I'd be there. I mean, we're spanning 30 years here. And
the schlepping years, I think that's what they're called.
The schlepping, yes, you're right. Boy, they are. But wouldn't trade a minute of it to get where we are. I think this is fabulous. I love this. This is great. We're together.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great. Did I miss anything in your bio, Cindy, that you wanted to say?
No,
okay.
No, except I walk dogs and I'm a mom and I clean my house and, you know.
Just do all.
Or Bagua's, unless you actually get to put them to work.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So, You know, I think we should just start because we have a lot of information and a lot of material that we want to cover, and we don't want to cram it in here. And so I think what it would be nice, and you know, because your people are on this call and our people are on this call, and so we're going to be preaching to the choir here. But I still think I want to hear how you define a chakra, Cindy. I'd like to hear what your words are around that.
You bet. And in, you know, short words, a short sentence, I'd say they're just plain subtle energy organs. So we have physical organs that are fairly measurable, even though we're constantly finding new things out about our organs. And as subtle energy organs, chakras are really special because they're able to convert subtle or psychic energy into physical energy and then go vice versa. So they're also able to transfer physical energies back into subtle. So you know what they're able to do is make what's invisible visible and what's visible invisible. And so that's really rather magical when you think of it. You just want to make sure that you're invisibilizing, that should be a Harry Potter word, the right stuff. You don't want to disappear money. You want to add it to your bank account. You don't want to create tumors. You want to disappear those. So chakras are really specializers in this sort of energy translation, and how awesome that we each innately have organs like this, and that all the people on this call, as well as the three of us talking together, you know, are really devoted and dedicated to bringing this ancient knowledge up to light.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, how many chakras are there?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And on any given day, I might give you a different number.
Okay, it. I kind of got that from looking around at this, that people have differing opinions. I didn't know if that was true or I just didn't look in the right places.
Yeah, but, you know, in America, we got this knowledge of the chakras back in the 1920s. It came over from England via India, and everybody said, oh, this one book, you know, Serpent Power says there's seven, so there's seven. But even that book said there's anywhere between 2 and 12, and different systems at different parts of the world are going to count different numbers of chakras. I personally work with the 12 chakra system. There's nothing sacred about that, but what I really like about going beyond the traditional Western seven, which are all located in the body, in the spine, connected to endocrine glands, you know, is that we're then officially recognizing that we're larger than our skin. So traditional seven, you know, kind of keep us a little restricted, I think, inside the body temple, but we're adding one under the feet, you know, those, you know, kind of in the hands and feet and over the body, around the body. And, you know, all of a sudden we're really, you know, underlining the fact that we don't end at the skin, that, you know, scientists have found electrons coming off our body at least a football field away. And that's not even measuring the quantum or the really fast particles or waves that compose who we are. So I work with 12, and tonight we're going to talk about 9, which are really the most, you know, substantial of the chakras.
Okay. I really think it makes sense. Like, I got the handout, and I thought, you know, when I looked at 12, of course, immediately I thought of an aura, and I really believe that when you have a certain energy, it projects out, and that's how I was kind of relating that to the chakras. Would you say that's on the same path as what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And I'm a believer, too, that each chakra is itself like the progenitor or the generator of the auric fields. Now, we have a lot of other fields that come off of our body, right, because every cell is electrical and it makes EMF, you know, but each chakra also opens up to an auric field. So there's a direct connect between these chakras, which are so-called in the body or kind of somewhat localized near the body, and the auric fields that extend beyond. And I love thinking of it that way because we're just this beautiful flow of energy that way.
So, Cindy, the handout that you sent, and if the listeners haven't downloaded, it's a human figure, and it just shows the chakras kind of doing this. There's a vertical lineup. Are they in the front part of the body or in the back part of the body, or do they like run through the whole body, kind of like a corkscrew, or what's your take on that?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, because it's funny, with a piece of paper, it's all two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Well, each of the chakras really has a front side and a back side, and that's not even quite correct. You know, so the first chakra in the hip area generates to the, you know, kind of extends beyond the front of the body, but then it's also located in the coccyx, and it has a backside that emanates out, you know, and collects energy in from our backside too. You know,
yeah.
And so think of a chakra as all these spirals that are constantly moving, and the lower in relation to the body the chakra, the slower the spirals, you know, the denser the energy that they're presenting and dealing with, you know, the higher in relation to the body, the faster the spirals, you know, and the higher the frequencies that they're dealing with. And so it's those lower chakras that go all the way down, actually, you know, into and through and beyond the feet, that are really helping us with material reality, with what we're doing in the world, with what's going on with our bodies, with our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ones really high up, you know, that we usually call more spiritual, that
mm-hmm.
where we, you know, talk to the angels or whatever
yeah.
it is,
yeah.
you know, we're into doing. Yeah, but they really go in every direction. And
mm-hmm.
so I'd love to somehow get a portraiture of that, you know, some way to convey, you know, how we're just ever circling and circulating and spiraling. So there's constantly energy coming in, there's energy going out. What we bring in, you know, we process, you know, it's the information that we're using to taste the world and decide what people are thinking and, you know, kind of feel our way through. And the energy we're sending out is telling the world how to treat us. It's literally messages.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
you know, it's like sending out emails,
yeah.
hoping somebody reads them.
Yeah. I, what I like about that dynamic of having more than seven is, the Chinese talk about the connection of heaven and earth and humanity, and those three components are really a sort of an ideological basis for their life or a lifestyle, and heaven, earth, and man, and or heaven, earth, and humanity, and the chakras, when they're just enclosed in the body, doesn't extend beyond that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't go
up
past to heaven. You don't go below it to earth. I like that.
Right.
I see why you would do that. That would make
yeah.
sense. It makes it a bigger
yeah.
picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And then literally those higher chakras would be the more heavenly ones. The ones
yeah.
more in the torso are going to be like your human functions, like thought,
yeah.
reason, relationship, and then the lower are going to be your earth. And we are all of those things. While we're alive, we are all those.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Carol, why don't you talk a little bit about how the, you know, five Chinese elements correlate with the Bagua and how you were thinking it would correlate to the chakras?
Yeah. Okay, so when Cindy and I were talking about doing this, I mentioned to her that there has been someone in the feng shui world who has compiled a chakra connected to each of the areas of the Bagua. And for those of you who are not familiar with feng shui, a Bagua is a like a mental map. It is a more Western development from the compass. It is not dependent on a compass. It is dependent instead on how you enter a space, so either your front door or the entry to your building or your bedroom or the entry to your office or whatever room you're going into. And that will determine the orientation of this Bagua. And the Bagua, actually, interestingly enough, Ba means eight and Gua means sides or element or, sides. That's usually how it's translated. And so what they're really connecting with are a square that has nine equal squares within it, three across the top and the bottom and the middle, and that makes nine equal areas. But they only looked at the outside squares, and so the middle square was considered, it was often an open area. The traditional homes, Chinese homes, there would be the open area where the animals would be kept, where the fire, where they would cook. So they didn't roof it in. Well, you know, we don't live like that, and so it became part of this eight-sided figure. And so there are actually nine areas in this Bagua. And so the Bagua is a mental contrivance that says there are certain areas in the space that represent certain issues. And what I did was looked at what were the issues that the chakras were addressing based on Cindy's work, and matched them, and they matched very easily, matched them with areas of the Bagua. And so the reason that this could be very compelling for somebody is if they're having an issue with something in their life, they could work on it with their chakras, and they could work on it in their space. Or if they want to develop a chakra more, maybe their throat chakra, there's an area you can go to in your space that's related to that. So it can be sort of a back and forth kind of analysis of what do I want, you know. Or if you're having an issue with, let's say, the heart chakra, and you're not sure what you should do with it. If you know where that's reflected in your space, you might look at it and say, oh my gosh, you know, that's where all my junk is, or that's where the door doesn't work, or, you know, so that there's a physical manifestation of something not being right, and that can, it doesn't mean it will, definitely, but it can influence you from an internal, inner standpoint. So I hope that was clear. I'm sure on this call we've got a whole bunch of people who know about feng shui, and we got a whole bunch of people who know about chakras. And there's probably also a big percentage who know about both. So I didn't want to make this too elementary, but I know there are people who may be new to kind of both modalities.
And
so
I think it's just fascinating, Carol, because being somebody who helps people process more through the chakras or from an internal basis, you know, I know for myself anyway, in doing that internal work, it's really easy for me to get stuck. It's like, it gets a little emotional or goopy or confusing, especially if you're doing your own work.
Yeah.
And again, I love that image of the chakras, you know, transforming and translating into auric fields and vice versa, you know, because it talks about, you know, if you work outside of the body, what you do out there is going to transfer into the system, into your emotional self, into your heart, and into your internal. So it's like an exponential way to shift yourself and open to what you really desire and what should be coming your way. You can start to receive it this way.
Well, and I also think we're both working with some very ancient traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found is that there's a commonality. There is a commonality between something that maybe came from different parts of the world, but there's like an archetypal energy where one is saying, let's look at this energy in your body, and another is saying, let's look at this energy out here in your environment. And, you know, they both speak to each other. And I love that. That feels like such a credible piece, that both approaches have such a validity to them, and they're kind of underscored by each other.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
And most Eastern medicines, some of them have something like a chakra. You know, in Tibet, maybe they call them a wheel or this or that or the other thing. But in even traditional Chinese medicine, they have acupoints. You know, whole idea of these, you know, interconnections between what's in our environment, how it's affecting us, and how we affect our environment, you know, as well.
Yep.
You know, there's a back and forth there.
It's a chicken and egg, because that's a question I get, is that, did I create this mess, or did the mess create my mess?
Right.
And it's like, well, it was probably done in tandem. You know, one affected the other, and then the other reflected back, and then, and then you spun it out. So.
Absolutely. Well, I know my youngest son, you know, couldn't study for several years. He's kind of gotten a little lax now, you know, until he cleaned his room. He would literally clean his room, and then he would say, okay, Mom, now I can learn. So it's kind of instinctive inside of us, too,
that
we have to surround ourselves with what is supportive of us.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think we should move on.
So let's jump in. Should we start, like, going 1 through 9?
Great.
So what we'll do is I'm going to talk just a little bit, you know, about each of the chakras, and, you know, I'll start with one, and then, Carol, you're going to chime in, and well as you, Lisa, you know, and then really weave it together for people.
Yep.
You know, like what that chakra has to do with that area of the Bhagwa. So I'm very excited. So we always start with one. Because it is the most primal energy center. It's in the hip area. We usually see it as red. And I like to use the code word for it, manifestor, because when we're really optimally using and accessing the first chakra, we're able to create for ourselves what we need physically. But, you know, it's also about safety and security. So whenever anybody's dealing with a major, major health issue, life and death issue, a major finance issue, it's the first chakra that we go and work with, which is the color red. You know, that's what red is about, that which is primary. And, you know, I see you've matched it with health. Which is exactly what the first chakra is about. I mean, it's about physical health.
And the health area in the Bhagwa is in the very center. It was the area that wasn't actually enclosed originally, but now it is. And the thing about that health area is, number one, it touches on all 8 other areas because it is in the center. And the second thing is that, you know, Lisa can corroborate this, when we're training students in the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui, one of the things we'll say is, you know, if somebody has just a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of issues and there's just so much happening, we'll say start in the center. Just start in the center, work in the center, and then go from there. Because otherwise you're running all over, and because it is so basic.
Right. That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to say, because of that it touches all the other areas, it's such a huge thing. And then that it relates to your point earlier, Carol, about that's what we consider the access sort of between the heaven and the
the
earth. And so that's another way sort of to bring it together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cindy, for some of us who know a little bit about chakras, the first chakra, you call it the manifestor. Is it also called the root chakra? Is that right?
Yeah, it's often called the base chakra.
The root
chakra, the coccygeal chakra, you know, all these sorts of descriptions. Yeah, I know, that really recognize it much in the same way you're saying, as the access point. Because frankly, if you don't have life energy flowing through your body, you can't do anything. You can't be spiritually expressive. You can't be in relationship, you know, unless you're in good health. And every level in this, the most primal or base energy center. It's the first one that opens up right after conception. It's really active in the womb to 6 months. And so, it gets programmed when we're really, really teeny tiny too.
Okay. Hmm. Well, and the next one up, you've referred to as the feeler, which is the second chakra.
Yes. And that's in the abdomen, connected to the ovaries and the testes, is typically seen as orange, and it is all about feeling. You know that Barry Manilow song that we're dating ourselves, Carol, if we both know this song.
Yeah, we know it. I can sing it for you.
Oh, everybody knows that song. It's a classic.
Yeah, it is in its own bizarre sort of way. Barry said it all. That's the second chakra. It's feelings and creativity. Because it's also about creating from your feelings and with your feelings. So people tend to take 2 tracks with it. They either really get involved in their own or others' emotional lives and compassion and those sorts of therapeutic concerns, or they become really expressive with their feelings, and maybe they, you can be an accountant and be expressive. It's mm-hmm. you know,
sure.
you could probably get thrown in jail for it, but but
yes.
if you go too far. But you know, painting and the arts and writing, et cetera, is also an extension to some extent of the second chakra.
Right. And where I saw this fit, and Lisa and I kind of ran through these the other day together because I wanted her to be familiar with them as well, and just to kind of get her feedback. But the area of the Bagua that is connected to the second chakra is the fame area, and fame and reputation is about, it's an area that holds an element of fire. And
mm-hmm.
fire is all about emoting, expressing, sensuality, kind of putting it out there. And as you can see, those of you who know the Bagua, the colors of the chakras are not following the colors of the Bagua. It's two different systems. Those we
mm-hmm.
could not overlay. But it is an orange area, and it does reflect some of that fire, definitely. Would you say that's right, Lisa?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because whenever you think of, especially, you know, when Cindy was talking about being very expressive and emotional, oftentimes we think of that as, a, you know, somebody with a lot of fire has
fire
that.
In it, yep.
And, you know, you can think about it as it's going to spark you. It sparks you to feel. It sparks you to feel this, or sparks you to act, sparks creativity, that,
yep.
that energy behind it. I would definitely agree with that.
And so
yeah.
if someone is having trouble with their second chakra, just to kind of reiterate how we laid this out before, then certainly they can go on their second chakra, or they can go to the fame area. And if you have your map, you'll see that that is in the back middle of the whole chart. And, you know, it depends on what you have there. You might have a
mm-hmm.
bathroom there, and you might
mm-hmm.
say, oh, I'm going to make sure that everything's working in here. I'm going to clean out the linen closet in here, or the, you know, the faucet's dripping. I want to change that. And that intention of it influencing the second chakra is what makes this connection happen.
Absolutely.
That's far easier than just processing the feelings.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't mean you don't do that, but sometimes it, you know, I think we both, Lisa and I, have said at times, feng shui is like a different way of doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's easier because it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'll get the faucet fixed and I'll clean that out. I can do that. Doesn't, you know, it isn't wrenching to do that. And what that does is it kind of helps the shift happen in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're ignoring the change from the to the chakra, but it's like it can happen in a different way. So now your space is telling you a different story. It has a different energy behind it, and that chakra can align with that. And
exactly,
really
and clear out, and literally,
yeah, yeah.
you know, if you've
mm-hmm.
got, you know, like a clogged, you know, pipe or this or that or the other thing, you know, what came first? I mean, the
yeah.
clogged pipe, and that's reflected inside, or the inside's reflected, and it goes both ways, you
yeah.
know, but you unclog that pipe, and you're going to unclog as well.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember, you know, just like you both were saying earlier, people process in different ways, and so you just have to, you know, that's the beauty of these systems working so well together, is that you can go with the one that makes you more comfortable at the time and still see some shift and something open up for you, whether it's through feng shui or through the chakra.
Exactly.
So.
Perfect.
So third chakra, should we climb up the
yep.
ladder a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Great. That's in the solar plexus. It's typically seen as yellow. I call it the thinker chakra, but it's really multifunctional. It has a lot to do with what we're picking up mentally, what we're bringing in, how we're processing it, how we're structuring our lives, what we're creating. One of the gifts, you know, that I often associate with this is the gift of administration, you know, helping to create success and build from self-esteem and self-confidence. And, you know, and it affects every single area of our body. It affects all the structures from familial structures to work structures to, you know, hobby structures that we're in. So it has to do with thoughts, but it really also, more than anything, has to do with structures.
Yeah. And this is lands in the family area. And for those who are on the call who have studied with the Wind and Water School, you also know the Bagua hold. I'll just give a little hint here, but I'm not going to go into a big explanation. But the Bagua also represents the five Chinese elements. And that particular element is, the element there is wood, and that is all about structure. It's all about vision. It's all about getting organized, kind of pulling things together. It's a perfect match for that.
Cindy gave you a great lead-in, too, because she said it was about familial structures, and then you put it in family.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Look at that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys are onto something here.
Yeah, maybe, huh? Yeah.
Well, that's where we learn, our beliefs. I mean, beliefs sit in here, and they affect and impact absolutely everything we do and sometimes what we don't do, you know, as well. And most of our beliefs, we may carry them in from past lives, and they're also generated from our family. So we're literally, you know, kind of making the decisions about ourselves, about our work, about our success, based on the beliefs. And some people use the word miasms that we pick up from the family. In fact, the third auric field looks very much like a net, and it's loaded with the belief systems that we've inherited from our family that make, you know, the pathways through which we're going to interface with the world.
Well,
yeah,
again,
so pictorially it makes sense too.
Yeah, so again, the family area is on the left side as you're looking into a room or into a home. It's in the middle, and there may be a correlation between this third chakra and the family area. It's a great place
Absolutely.
To take a look, see what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the fourth chakra, we're like dead on.
Yeah.
You can't get away from this one. Yeah.
No. And this is probably the most well-known chakra in terms of people associate with it the most. They like it. This is where they like to focus and center themselves and breathe in and out of. It's right in the heart, you know, in that whole chest area. And it's the relationship. It's the relator chakra. And so it's about love. I mean, the center of our being is about love. The center of the energetic system is the heart. You know, it's processing information from below, from the more earthly concerns, bringing down the heavenly. And so this is the cauldron that's really kind of mixing our relationships and our abilities to love and our abilities to choose, you know, who to love and in what way. So that sounds exactly like partnership to me.
Yeah, it is. It's, I think that partnership in the Bagua, although sometimes we do consider it as a partnering, like in a business, you know, business partners. 99% of the time, I use it as a personal partner relationship. Don't you, Lisa? I think that's
I do.
Yeah. So it is about love, and it's about actually, that area used to be called the marriage area, but a lot of people don't get married anymore, and or they just have a life partner. And so it just kind of morphed into being called a partnership area.
Well, that really makes sense. And, you know, working with clients, I would say at least half of the phone calls I get, and probably a little bit of almost every call, is about romance, mate, relationship, wanting one, not wanting the one that's there, whatever. We're made for love at some level. This is what we yearn for.
Well, and I think, you know, what's nice, though, when you put the relator in there, it's, and we talk a lot about this when we talk about the Bagua as well, that even if it's how you relate to other people to help bring in a relationship, and sometimes that is relating to yourself. So you're opening yourself up. And so we, you know, even if people are interested in a relationship, we still don't have them ignore that part of the Bagua, because for that exact reason, you still want to be able to be open to something, and you still want to have that relatable energy within yourself for when you're ready for it. So
absolutely.
You know.
And I usually chakra-wise look at relationship with self, relationship with others,
yeah.
and relationship
yeah.
with the divine. And all
yes.
of those need to have
yes.
a balance. There needs to be a balance and an inner exchange with mm-hmm. those three components
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I like what you said, Lisa, and you, Carol, too, said not everybody right now is getting married, and so, but they're having relationships and partnerships, and you, Lisa, saying, you know, sometimes, you're not going
to
focus on, the romance, and it might be like looking at yourself, and I just think that's so important because,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, as a single woman at this point, I've been divorced like 12 or 13 years and certainly dated and whatever, you know, but I'm deliberately choosing not to date until my youngest, you know, is like flying, you know, kind of more on his own. But I don't consider that to be a relationship failure. But I think that that's out there right now, that if people get divorced or, you know, they're single or they're, you know what I mean? We've got a lot of judgment, I think, around relationship.
Yeah.
And this is where we work those through all
mm-hmm. yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, you know, what Cindy just said about, you know, half of her calls or more than half people are asking about relationship, that's definitely that occurs for me. People are,
mm-hmm.
they may not be wanting to divorce their partnership or their, you know, from the person they're with, but they want it better or they want out or they want something new to go on. And it is a big thing for people. Relating is hard.
and that gets
a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, and when, you know, when learning how to relate, you also need to communicate. How do you
that
guys
is
like
it?
That? Leading into the fifth chakra.
Oh, the fifth chakra. Moving
we
us
have
along.
To use,
thank
we're
you.
We're moving us along. We do have to use that darn fifth chakra, which is a lovely chakra. And people get really confounded and confused with this one sometimes. Because it is about communication. It's blue. You know, it's in the throat area. And we've got to remember here that, especially this chakra, that there's two sides to the chakras. There's what we're hearing or bringing in intuitively, inaudibly, or audibly, like through the back side of the chakra, the back of the neck. And then there's what we're offering and speaking or singing or, teaching or whatever into the world through the front. But so much of communicating is really about knowing how to listen, what to listen for, knowing how to share, when not to share. And, you know, so the fifth chakra is such a beautiful, expressive way of being that I find a lot of people, you know, who are more introverted frequently say, well, I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk. You know, mm-hmm. I don't speak. And it's like, well, do you listen to music? Well, yeah. Do you think to yourself? Do you, right? It's all kinds of communication.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
it's a means of joy. Ultimately, this chakra is about hearing, listening for joy and sharing for joy and truth.
Wow.
I like that.
Well, that lines up so perfectly with what's called the children and creativity area. And because that is about expressing yourself as a child, being the little girl again or the child within. And it's also about, expressing yourself creatively. And it's also holds the element of joy in it. Each area of the Bhagwa has some emotion attached to it. And joy is the one that lands there in children creativity. And so
I didn't know that.
It has that innocence to it.
That's great.
Yeah, isn't that the coolest thing? Yeah, so there's
that
some
is.
Innocence there and
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
some kind of openness that just lines up great with the fifth chakra,
yeah.
children and creativity.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know,
and
then we climb up to sixth chakra, which is really well known in mystical cultures and communities. This is in the brow area. It's typically seen as purple. Sometimes it's envisioned as indigo, depending on the system. But this is the visual or the clairvoyant or the visionary energy center. And on a practical basis, you know, people use it to picture what they want and to manifest. Or in business, they may use it to do long-range planning and create strategies. Our self-image is stored here. Our, you know, our picture of ourself, which of course affects everything we do and how we're going to bring ourselves into the world, how successful we're going to be in any way or any of our endeavors. And it's the place where we get the clairvoyant pictures, the images, the psychic impressions, you know, the internal images, or sometimes even see with our eyes, you know, the energetics of the world as well. So it's a very powerful and much studied and often revered energy center.
When I saw what you wrote about this sixth chakra, one of the words that you used in there a couple of times was the word empowerment or being empowered. And this is why I connected that to the wealth area, because the wealth area is about feeling empowered. And most of the time people feel empowered because they have money. But a lot of times they feel empowered because they have a great family, or they feel empowered because they have friends, or they feel empowered because they have good health. And so that allows them then to kind of let go of the, oh, of the mundane, if you will. I don't know if that's maybe the right way to say it. And to look to something higher, to have gratitude for something higher, something more that they're blessed with. The wealth area is sometimes referred to as the blessing area. What it is that you have that allows you to rise above the mundane, if you will.
And isn't that about perspective and being able to see through the eyes, you know, of your higher self? And really, like you're saying, it's so beautiful, Carol, to be able to appreciate what it is that you are, what it is that you have. That's wealth. That's inner wealth.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Absolutely.
Wealth, isn't it? Yep.
Now we're starting to get, we're getting at the top of the body, aren't we, Cindy, with the seventh chakra?
We are. We're all the way up there. We're going to pop out in a couple minutes. So, seventh chakra is typically associated with the top of the head and the pineal gland, and it has a lot of names as well. You know, it because it's the Sahasrara, I can never say it right, in the Hindu term, you know, is also the crown chakra, the thousand petaled lotus chakra, and that just helps you visualize it. Because it is about spirit, spirituality. Ultimately, of course, it's like your place from the body where you're closest to the heavens. So it's where you have your spiritual connection. I often link it to the gift of prophecy, or just knowing what is to be done versus not to be done. What would Creator do? You know, what is the right versus the not right thing to be aware of or to become? So there's a lot of integrity. You know, and we need to make decisions from the integrity, you know, that's very personal to us and our connection to the divine through the seventh chakra.
Yeah, boy, this is so perfect because this fits into the knowledge area. And on one level, that means learning things. It's education. Mm-hmm. But that area is often called the meditation area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that fits so well with this whole idea of spirituality and prayerfulness, meditation. Will often suggest that if there's a room there that they don't know what to do with, it makes a beautiful meditation room, which could be a yoga room and a room to journal in and a room to pray in. I mean, whatever that might mean to you, or just to sit in and journal. But it has that kind of energy, and it fits really nicely with the seventh chakra. I love that connection. It was, you know, some of these, there were a little more obscure connections, but a few of these, boy, was just like.
That's right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, the seventh chakra is also connected to the learning brain, the higher brain.
Sure.
Which is, you know, the consciousness brain. The one that not only gives us the metatonic or the real kind of supernatural experiences, but literally helps us learn, memorize, et cetera.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That fits even on that level, Carol and
it does.
Lisa.
It,
it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So are we
going to
go a little?
We're out of the body. Whoa.
Out of the body now.
Well, these two additional ones on the top are they're just so rich. They're so unusual and rich. So we'll start with the eighth chakra. You know, that's just about 2 inches or so above the body. If you were to see it, you would just see a tiny point. But how, you know, really, that's going to kind of throw you, because if you're to go into that point, all of a sudden you would find yourself in the entirety of the universe. And that's what the eighth chakra opens us up to. I consider it to be the home of our shamanic self. Our shaman self is this self who mediates or connects to the different dimensions, the different worlds, the different planes. And what do shamans do? But they operate between worlds. They interconnect, you know, people to the beings of nature, to the angelic realms, to the deceased. And so it's a doorway that really interconnects to all the people, the beings, the souls, the living and the not living, that can be helpful to us.
Mm-hmm. And so how perfect to lead.
How
right
perfect.
Into the fact. Yeah, that is a helpful.
This is another one that's right in the bucket. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Because helpful people runs a huge gamut in the Bagua. It's everywhere from a babysitter to a shaman and everything in between. You know,
yeah.
So your neighbor, a friend could be a helpful person. Your spouse could be a helpful person. A grocer boy could be a helpful person if he takes your groceries out. I mean, you know, it just goes up. A teacher could be a helpful person. The Buddha could be a helpful person. So, you know, that whole idea of kind of linking two worlds apart, whether
mm-hmm.
it's you and your babysitter or you and your shaman, you know, there's a help. There's help going on for you in whatever capacity.
And what
well,
an
and
important
just,
message for people
yeah.
to know
mm-hmm.
that there's always something or someone there. I mean,
yeah.
I know how many times I've been like in a bad mood or something's not going right, and I just go like to Caribou or the grocery store or Caribou's like a Starbucks, which everybody knows, you know,
yeah.
and it's like somebody just says the right thing.
Or you
feel the presence of a being, you know, just
mm-hmm.
just pick you up a little bit. I mean, we are so companioned, and we tend not to know it as busy as our lives are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I just love that when you said angelic realms, and I just remember when I was first studying with Carol, and we were talking about helpful people, and, you know, sometimes you work with all sorts of, you run the gamut of people's spiritual and religious beliefs when you're working with feng shui. And what I always found fascinating was, you know, when Carol would tell us about if you have a statue, if you have, you know, a Jesus statue or a Mary statue or a Buddha statue or whatever kind of statue, a good place to put that is helpful people, because that is, just like you said, it's calling the other realm to help you out. So there's this, you know, earthly realm of, like Carol was saying, you know, babysitter or realtor or something like that. And then there's this otherworldly realm where that's your guardian angels or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever the deity that you want to, you know, put out there. And it's interesting because it's come up a lot for me in consultations where people have, you know, a religious statue and they're, where should I put this? And it's just a perfect place. And now I see how even more perfect it is since it relates to that chakra.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it's great.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, and then we go one more step up the ladder, and this is the most beautiful shimmering of the chakras. I call it the ninth, which is a very dull name in some of the inconsystems and others. You know, in one system it's got this long name, but it's sort of described always as a luminary body, a gold body, and I also perceive it as gold. Uh-huh. And in different systems that have these, you know, sort of transcendent chakras, this very high one is always our link, you know, to creator. You know, it's always the place that we can receive the highest of principles, the highest of truths. And I really work with it on a soul basis for people, because this is also what contains the germs, you know, and the nubbins of like, who you really are, what you're really all about, what your soul purpose, you know, really is, the soul purpose that you carry and you act out in different ways lifetime to lifetime, you know, kind of what you represent, what qualities, what virtues you're here to share, you're here to embody, you know, and so we're supposed to bring it into certainly every aspect of our life, but I find people aren't happy in their work, you know, unless this energy is streaming all the way in and they're able to really embody what's carried in their ninth chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly by process of elimination, this fell in the career area, but the reason it fits is because the element there is water. And water in the element system, water is like the beginning and the end. It's like birth and death. You know, it's like if a project starts, you start with water and you move it around and you end with water. And so it holds all things, if you will. It's like the the whole journey of life, and that. That's what made that fit so beautifully. It can be about, you know, what you do in your work. It can be about that. But on another level, it is about that whole essence of flow, of resilience, of kind of deep, seeing deep, you know, going deep. So I saw that work without even any contrivance. It felt very perfect, like that indeed would be the culmination of the nine chakras.
Well, and words that I often use with the ninth include idealism and harmonizing. I often say what it does is harmonize, which very much fits with your description.
Yep.
You know, of the essence and the flow of water.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that these last three chakras, 7, 8, mm-hmm. 9, are all in the front of this Bagua. I've been trying to figure out what that meaning is, but the front of a Bagua is the more...
public.
Yes, or, it's more public. Yes, it is. It's a more out there feeling to it. As you go further back in the space, it's more private and more inward. But those are more out there. And I just think, you know, as we got up to the seventh and then the eighth and then the ninth, you know, definitely those were chakras that are making a different connection, a bigger connection, if you will, taking you
well,
from
and perhaps,
inside out.
Perhaps our calling is to start leading with these true aspects of us, because these are universal aspects of us that carry from lifetime to lifetime our spiritual essence, you know, our mystical self, our harmonizing soul. I mean, you even look at like the life of Buddha and, you know, so many, you know, men and women, you know, who have been leaders and out in public and in religions and spiritualities, but even in private, you know, they live their lives doing the everyday. And then there's a place and there's a time where they say, you know what, I need to lead my life now with what really counts, with what we're really here to be doing and learning. And those are the things of the seventh, eighth, and ninth chakra.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
It's just something to play with. That's just how it strikes me.
Yeah, it is. You know, we need tools. We need as many tools as we can. And I would hope that people who know a lot about feng shui will start to see the kind of the blossom of that modality, and you know, vice versa, those who've worked with a lot of chakras would see how that could play out, the chakras could play out in their space.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful marriage. Talk
yeah.
about
it
a
really is.
Relationship.
Yeah,
yeah it yeah. truly is. And I know for myself, the more I've learned, and much of it is from, you know, your school, you know, the more that I use the feng shui principles in my home, frankly, the happier that I am. I'm a busy little beaver in my house. I'm constantly like cleaning or painting, or you know, I got the roof redone this year and the kitchen sink plumbed out, and
nice.
It may not always be perfectly neat, but it's decluttered underneath the surface
right.
movement.
Right. And you're starting to get, you know, a space you love, and isn't that what we want? We want people to be living in their internal space, their chakra space, where it's something that glows and brings them joy, and they're experiencing joy, and that's what they love. And we want their exterior space, their house, to support that and also be a place that they love. Because I think for me, that is, there are two sides to, you know, which just breaks my heart. When you meet somebody who lives somewhere that they just can't stand, or you meet somebody who's just not okay with themselves. And, you know, I just think a lot of that is, like you said earlier, just, you know, trying to find that true self and be that true self, and know that that is more than okay. That is good. That is what we want for people. To bring that all together. So I think this was a really fascinating call. So thank you both for, you know, bringing these two worlds together. I was going to say collide, but then really I feel like they mesh. They don't collide,
they mesh.
They mesh.
They
mesh. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Thank you both for organizing this.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
Oh, sure.
I have so much more to learn myself. You know, about
I'm saying the same thing here.
I know.
Wow.
Let's get on this. Okay, so Cindy, I know you just finished like a 12-pound book, right?
it's like a baby. Literally, it weighs more than a child.
I love it.
Yeah,
and the name of that book for everybody is.
It's Llewellyn's Complete Book of Chakras, and I could not stick another word in. Actually, it's 1,200 pages, and actually the worst part is I could have kept writing. That's the worst part.
No, that's the best part,
I think. But it's really fun. I love the second half is my favorite half. It covers different chakra systems and really spiritual systems, because they're not always called chakras. They might be called Mamarni in this culture and wheels in another, or spirits in the body, you know, in another. Mm. So I love the second half because it's really sort of an overview of different chakra systems from different parts of the world. So I think that is probably the gift, you know, that this book is giving, is showing us, you know, that we have had these basic concepts in so many different cultures that we're made out of energy. And my big takeaway out of the whole book is that almost every culture I studied said there is a bigger force, whatever you call it, a creator, and we have tools that are visible and invisible, you know, to make that connection, you know, into the heavens. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what they all say.
Absolutely. Wow, that's great. Well, when we send out this recording, we're going to add a link to the book on Amazon for any of you who are interested in getting that, especially after a call like this. I'm sure y'all are going to be very fascinated. I am. I'm about ready to get off the call and search on the computer for a minute. and additionally, Cindy is going to offer a $400 discount to anybody on this call for her apprenticeship program, which is a 7-month mentorship program assisting you with understanding and unlocking your spiritual gifts. So really taking a deep dive into energy work that Cindy does. And for that, you need to contact her directly through an email, cindydaleapps@gmail.com. You don't have to write that down. I'm going to send that out in the recording. Email as well. So just know that those things are coming. And for those of you who follow us or are new, you know, we have some things upcoming as well. We're doing our little, it's not little, but we have a nice 8-video program called Set Sail, which is really will help you get your own space in order. And we have done that as just a video series that people can purchase, and we have decided to do a new format. We're including a live component. And if you're on our mailing list, you've gotten emails about this. The deadline for the special pricing is next week, October 3rd. It's on Monday. And if you need information on that, go to our website for sure, or you can just contact me, lisa@windwaterschool.com. Or you can just go to Facebook and post on our page and ask a question. I can answer it there. Lots of ways to get information about that. But it's really nice. We're taking We'll do 3 live calls, one at the beginning, middle, and end. You'll watch videos and get handouts in the meantime, and we'll put together a little form as well on Facebook for people to ask questions. So if you're interested in learning about feng shui and aren't ready to take a deep dive into the big professional certification program, this is a great start. These speaker series calls, they're always free, and we're going to have another one in November 3rd. Get on our email list if you're interested in that, or follow us on Facebook because we always post information there. And that's going to be with Warren King, and that's going to be a good one as well. And then lastly, if you are thinking about getting certified, professional certification for feng shui, we are going to start another program next March. You might be saying to yourself, well, Lisa, that's too far away. Not really. It'll come faster than you know, especially with the holidays. If you're even considering it, again, get on our email list because we send out information about that program. We'll do an info call, and we'll have some special pricing that will only be for 48 hours after that info call, which is in January. So if you are tinkering with that, you do not want to miss it at all. So, any other things I missed, I think, Carol?
I think you covered it all. It was great. You know, the speaker series is sponsored by the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui, and we do them about, every other month or so, something like that. And so sometimes it's very much feng shui related. Sometimes it's not so feng shui related, but it's related in other ways. So you don't have to be a feng shui in the know to appreciate what we're offering here.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you
both. Cindy.
Thank you, everybody who called in or who are listening. What a lovely experience. Thank you very much.
Yes. You are so welcome.
Yes. Well, thank you, everybody. And as I said, this recording will come out so you can listen to this again if you're so inclined. Or I hope you enjoyed the recording if you're listening to it afterwards. And, well, everybody have a wonderful night, a great weekend, and definitely keep in touch.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.